Stop 3. The social turmoil caused by the Industrial Revolution challenged the long-established power structures in Britain. By the 1830s, parliamentary reform had been for decades on the agenda of reformists and radicals in all classes. The term could mean very different things, although virtually all male campaigners shared a determination to exclude women from the franchise. Eventually, a Whig government brought forth a very moderate reform bill, proposing a minor extension of the franchise. More relevant was the proposed reorganisation of constituencies, strengthening representation of the new industrial centres at the expense of some of the rural areas, thereby satisfying the demands by the new urban industrial magnates. But the bill was brought forward by a government of thoroughbred aristocrats. They had no problem with the practice that the old families of dukes and earls, the rural landed magnates, exercised a lot of power in the Lords and controlled many MPs in the Commons. The Whigs' Reform Bill did not challenge this, but should simply ensure that not too many of those MPs were Tories. However moderate, the Reform Bill had bitter enemies, especially among those who were to lose some of their influence. One of these people was one of the most despised characters in Nottingham's history, the embodiment of all the clichés of the landed aristocrat, Henry Fiennes Pelham Clinton, the 4th Duke of Newcastle, owner of Nottingham Castle. He was a fierce class warrior, loathing the swinish multitude. He wrote in his diaries,
"I will rather encounter any degree of riot than to incur the disgrace of retreat and to give the rabble a trial."
He was determined to stop the bill and felt betrayed by most fellow gentlemen.
"I alone remain fixed in my determination and have to fight the cause almost single-handed, whilst the other gentlemen of the county are engulfing the cause of reform."
His hopes seemed to come true as the first reform bill failed in the Commons and the second was rejected in the House of Lords on October the 8th, 1831. The news quickly arrived in Nottingham on the Saturday of the Goose Fair weekend. A local newspaper, the Nottingham Mercury, described events on the following morning.
"On Sunday morning, an immense concourse of people assembled. A passenger by the mail said that in London they were beating to arms, which was received with cheers."
Shortly after, the riots began, again described by the Mercury.
"Mr. Hedderley, the druggist in Clumber Street, was standing at his door. A report was spread that he had used some offensive word or gestures, causing some of his upstairs windows to be broken. About the same time, Dr. Manson, passing through Pelham Street, was struck by a missile, and it became apparent that the irritation was progressively gaining strength."
Throughout that day, stone throwing at shops and houses continued. At this stage, the crowds were apparently able to fight off the coppers, as the Mercury reported.
"The police officers exerted themselves to seize offenders, but without avail, as blows from stones and heavy hands stopped them."
It was not until the evening that soldiers turned up. They were commanded by Joseph Fackwell, who later recounted events in a letter to the Duke of Newcastle.
"We dispersed the crowds in various parts of the town and in the marketplace. Small knots of the lowest rabble continued to glide through dark alleys and passages, and frequently succeeded in breaking windows before they could be interrupted."
Eventually things calmed down that night, but they were not to stay like that for long.
Your next stop is Market Square. Just walk down Long Row until you reach it.